Howdy, folks. Welcome to Solve This. I'm your host, Widget Walls, and this is the new podcast slash panel slash improv audio emporium for needcoffee.com. Now, I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you didn't already know, but the world is a place fraught with problems and issues beyond the power of any one person to solve. And we know this. So this isn't another podcast that just talks about problems. It wants to take them out with extreme prejudice. So, to that end, we have assembled a panel of four expert problem solvers. They'll be working out a variety of different problems that I will be giving them, and they will receive points based on creativity, ingenuity, originality, and insanity. Now, let's meet our panel. Because I'd like for our listeners to get to know the panel's particular problem-solving styles individually, and since this is an episode going out just after Christmas, I'm going to ask them each to relate a problem they've had to solve that involves the Christmas holidays. Could be this year or any year during their long and varied problem-solving careers. So, first up, let's go with J.J. Hawkins. Hello, J.J.
Hello.
Hello. J.J. hangs his hat at the website of Doom and is the host of Mars Needs Podcasts. Now, J.J., can you tell us about a Christmas problem you had to contend with?
Well, I have a Christmas problem that's not unique. As a matter of fact, it affects at least three of us on this podcast, and that's a December birthday. Which is never that easy to deal with, because then Christmas and birthday get merged. So the nice thing is I can't take 100% credit for this, because my girlfriend actually helped me solve this. And that's just, we never do anything Christmassy until the 13th of December, which is my birthday. So the Christmas tree doesn't come up, no presents get bought, nothing until after my birthday, to keep my birthday separate from Christmas.
So in reality, what you've done there is, it sounds like you've solved the problem by making Christmas a birthday present from you to everyone else.
You could definitely say that. Yeah. Hey, that sounds better than what I said. Yeah, what you said, bitch.
that's very clever. Well done. So next, let's go with John, John Boutel. Hello, John.
First, I'd like to thank... hi, sorry.
Hi.
Oh, I just wanted to thank JJ for solving the problem of December Christmases. Of course, I need to make an adjustment to his adjustment. Christmas can't start until December 20th, which would be my birthday.
You're very right. Okay. We all live in our personal hell.
Now, bio. John is the chairman of the board of the Unique Geek, and he is the chief technical consultant for our Need Coffee AV Needs, which keeps him in constant need of therapy. Now, John, since JJ took an obvious problem for you, what is another Christmas problem that you've had to solve?
Well, actually, this goes back to my days in college, when I was traveling Europe backpacking, and I was a consultant. And during the Christmas time, I was actually in Amsterdam, and the problem that they had was all the barbers at Christmas time were getting approached by people who thought that, you know, they'd imbibed at the local coffee shop, and had thought that the little barber thing that was outside their house was candy canes. So what I did was I came up with a brilliant idea, which was to paint the white stripe in the red and white stripe that's there all red. However, inadvertently, I also created the red light district. So they had a whole nother problem that they had to solve. I was on my way out to France to invade it. They surrendered, of course.
Well done. It's a shame we don't have points in this round. I'd give you a bonus point just for somehow working in an offense towards the French. Next, we'll go with Aaron Poole. Hello, Aaron.
Hello.
Hello. Aaron is a recovering podcaster, filmmaker, and contributor to the website of Doom. Aaron, can you tell us of a Christmas issue that required your particular attention?
A holiday tradition would be the office Christmas party. Another tradition of holiday Christmas parties would be to photocopy your ass in the office. So what most people don't realize, and this is fact, you can look this up, the number one breaker of photocopiers in the office is people sitting on them. They're not designed for your ass, folks. That glass is breakable. So to solve the problem of having to call out a repair guy and fixing all these photocopiers in the world, I've brought the office party into the 20th century, or 21st century, which we're in now, and basically using digital cameras and email. So now you can get my ass in 20 megapixels, which I think is much better than the black and white photocopies of old.
I think honestly, you've solved one problem and created another, even more so than John's situation.
Now we I have... do, I do have a question, Wedge.
Oh, yeah.
Is 20 megapixels big enough for Aaron?
I have a very small bullet.
He's very scrawny. Last but certainly not least, we're joined by Ryan Patrick Eros, actor and all-around improv guy. He comes to us by way of many, many appearances at our events at Dragon Con. Ryan, what is a Christmas puzzler that gave you pause, sir?
Oh, what to buy my mother is the that's the thing. My mom, she's just this really bizarre human being. So what I've done is I've turned it into a very passive way for my wife to get back at her. So what happens is I send my wife photos of hideous jewelry throughout the year, and she tells me whether or not she thinks it's ugly enough. And if it passes the yes, that's hideous enough test, then my mom gets it.
So basically what you're doing is you're supporting each Christmas a lot of different artists on Etsy.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm sure they do appreciate that.
Somebody's got to buy that stuff.
I understand. All right, excellent. Well, we have assembled our full panel of experts, and we have a bunch of problems to solve. And now I just need to take a moment and take roll for our audience members. So at the pause, listeners at home, please state your name loudly and clearly, and I will mark you off my list. Ready, go? Okay. I heard some new listeners there, but we are missing a couple. I will have to speak to the vice principal. All right. All right. Anyway, no more time for that. The problem at hand is now called round one. This is a quick fire round. I will offer up a problem to each of you in turn, and you respond with a sensible solution or as sensible as you can manage. John, we'll start with you. John, solve this. You wake up to find that a child, presumably yours, has cut a big chunk out of your hair while you slept. You have an important meeting in an hour, and there's no hats in the house that can properly help you hide this.
Ah, well, if I had a dollar for every time that's happened, I wouldn't have any money yet. However, let's see. What would I do? Really, in this case, what we should ask is, what would Telly Savalas do? Telly Savalas would be a man about it, man up, shave the kid's head, and paste the hair in place of the big patch that is now on mine. Sure, the kid is going to be ridiculed at school, but really, the bastard deserves it. That is all.
See,
that's a little insight into how I raise my children.
That's it. That is the, what we would call the Telly Savalas hair club for men. I like that a lot.
Shape you, baby. Great.
All right, excellent. So 3 points there. Well done. JJ, over to you. JJ, you come home from work to find a small farmhouse in your backyard with a pair of legs wearing ruby slippers sticking out from underneath.
Okay. Well, first of all, considering I live in a studio apartment, yes, I got a backyard.
So instantly you're ahead.
So, yeah, I'd say there's not much of a problem there. And, you know, okay, so, you know, I don't want to go so far as to call my sister a witch. But we're not exactly in the best of touch. So I'm really wondering what the problem is here. I mean, I get rid of my sister. I get a really cool pair of sequin shoes and I get a backyard. I just think that I'm going to do a jig right then and there.
Well, I've never met your sister, so I did not have this specifically in mind for you at the time. But well done. 3 points there. Aaron, well, we'll move over to you. Aaron, your problem is this. It is literally raining men outside.
Hallelujah, it's raining men. Sorry.
Okay. Can I ask that Ryan get points taken away? not because of his singing, but rather because now that song stuck in my head.
Such things happen.
Well, I think, you know, you do have to go out and get yourself soaking wet in situations like that. But I think to be honest, I would probably try and take advantage of the situation and just get Ireland better sports teams. I mean, there has to be at least a couple of athletic guys in this hailstorm. I think I would just, you know, start training them there, and then I would throw balls at them. No, not what you're thinking. I'm right out of the gutter. But, you know, I would just, I think I would train them up and take over the world of sports.
Okay, Aaron, we'll give you a good 2 points there. You could have had an extra point for saying maelstrom instead of hailstorm, but so be it.
Damn!
All right, Ryan, we'll go over to you next. Here is your problem. Solve this. The Kool-Aid man has gotten chipped, and if you don't do something, he's going to bleed out quick. Oh, yeah.
Oh. Where's the chip from?
The chip from?
Yeah, like where is he chipped? Like, is it toward the base? Is it on the neck?
I would say it's towards the base around one of the legs. So therefore, he's not going to just run down to a certain point and stop and become stable. So it's a pretty bad. The chip is in a very bad place.
We've clipped the femoral part of the big picture.
I would say so. Yes.
Oh no no. first thing I do is I take off my belt and properly apply a tourniquet. To the Kool-Aid man's thigh, and then I will try maybe a two-part metal epoxy, just, you know, squeeze that together and try and get that up in the crack. I'm squeezing that into that crack, not his other crack. We don't want to seal that up. That'll cause him to go septic and they'll die of something else. I would you know, gently try and squeeze the piece back into it and then hold it in as manly and Aaron's team of falling Irish footballers way, so that it didn't seem like I was just holding the Kool-Aid man's crotch for him.
Yeah, seemed like.
Speaking of seams. All right.
Yes.
All right.
Sorry, go ahead, Widge.
Oh, no, go ahead, please.
I was going to ask if I could grant him one of my points for just being unintentionally erotic. At least for me.
John, you find the Kool-Aid man going septic to be erotic, or did I get the wrong part?
No, you got the right part.
Okay, good.
Nice.
All right, so Ryan, nope. Well done. 2 points there. And trauma. So, all right. Excellent. Let's do another similar round, but this time, because of the season, these problems are all going to be New Year's related, because this is going out before New Year's. Go figure. So, JJ, we'll start with you. JJ, solve this. You come to what you have been told is a costume party. In fact, you've shown up dressed as Baby New Year. However, upon arrival, you find that everyone else is in formal attire.
Who's being erotic now?
Well, wow. Okay, because, you know, again, not to go too much into my history, I did once go as Baby Huey in a party where I was way too inebriated to remember. So I can kind of... full interpersonal history of what it must be like to be in a room full of people staring at you in a diaper. Now, I think, quite honestly, if you find yourself in this kind of a situation, there are two ways you can go about it. You can go ahead and just be embarrassed and maybe go home, or, you know, what I find is always just the one way that you're going to be able to, you know, sleep at night in the new year. And that's just to go ahead and own it. So what I'm going to say is, sure, I show up as the Baby New Year. Sure, I'm not exactly the most attractive person in a diaper you may have ever seen. But, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stride in there and I'm going to take big strides. I am going to take up the space that I can take, and I am going to open a bottle of champagne, pour myself a big glass, and I'll be damned if I'm not going to make the first toast. I'm going to have to be the best Baby New Year 2012 ever saw. And I will know in the back of my head that this is the year that the world ends and nobody will remember anything on December 22nd.
Well done. I'll give you 3 points, but I'll take away 1 point at the idea that anyone could be attractive in a diaper.
Hey, now, Widge, speak for yourself.
I'm speaking for the world. I think I can at this point. Now, moving on. Aaron, this one's for you. Hey. Aaron, you had reservations for you and your significant other for a very fancy restaurant in order to celebrate New Year's. But when you arrive, you find that the table has been taken instead by a very rude haddock.
Of course it is.
Isn't that a kind of fish?
Yes. Yes, Ryan, it is.
Just checking.
Which is weird, because most haddock are very nice and pleasant.
This is true. I've dated quite a few. Well, see, in this sort of scenario, is it not on the menu?
So
it might be you could it might be, but maybe not.
Okay, well, I think it is now. I you know, it's because let me tell you, batter that thing and it is going to be absolutely wonderful. So I think I would solve the problem with physical violence and frying.
That's excellent. So Aaron, 3 points for that. Normally I would take away for resorting to physical violence, but haddock is tasty, so I can't. I simply can't. All right, Ryan, we'll move to you next.
Yay!
Ryan, here's your situation. It is a zombie holocaust outside, and you have the last bottle of champagne known to man, but you can't get the damn thing open, and obviously you can't run out and simply grab another.
Okay. It's a zombie holocaust. So there's the world is covered in zombies on fire?
No, not unless you set them on fire. And Ryan, I know personally that you don't want to set the world on fire.
No. I just want to start a fire in your heart. All right. How long has the Holocaust been going on?
Enough for it to be very difficult for you to go out and get another bottle of champagne.
So we're pretty much boned?
You could say boned, yes.
And I'm just gonna hack the top off of the bottle on a counter, just like break the top off on a counter and just take it straight to the head, because screw it, we're done anyway, right?
Well, that is a solution. Certainly not one I foresaw. I'll give you a good solid 2 points for and an extra point for taking it to a place I never thought that would be solved with just suicide by bottle. But well done. So John,
this last one for you.
All right, your problem is this. Your wife tells you that her New Year's resolution is to not allow any alcohol in the house.
I get a divorce. Next.
Next.
There's no court in the land that would give her any money after that point, so I think I'm okay. Well, no court in the land that's run by a dude. So I figure I got about an 80-20% chance, because really, who puts women in charge? What? Is this hole not big enough? Hold on, one more.
Damn.
I think that's it.
So,
I think
okay,
problem solved.
About their driving ability, John.
Women are allowed to drive?
Not in Saudi Arabia.
I relocate to Saudi Arabia. Done.
So, John, I will give you a bonus point there for using the backhoe of sexism and digging a good one. All right.
Backhoe. That's my porn name.
Oh, my God. All right. So I will take a moment to tally up the points, and I can see that we've got Ryan. You're in an unassailable fourth place with 6 points.
Thanks.
We have got JJ and Aaron tied for second place. Well, you're in third place. There you go. I see I've upgraded you already. You're in third place because we have JJ and Aaron tied for second place with 7 points. And John, you're in the lead with 9 points.
Huzzah.
Huzzah, indeed. All right.
Target on the back of your head.
There always is.
So for the rounds we have upcoming, we're going to need buzzers. And we are recording this over Skype, which means that buzzing in is a problem. You don't have a buzzing system that works over Skype. But never fear. We have a panel of problem solvers here. And I'm sure you all brought your own buzzers to the table. So, Aaron, let's start with you. What is your buzzer? Thank you, Bob Dylan. Ryan, over to you next. What is your buzzer, sir? I love that so much. All right, John, next to you, what's your buzzer?
I'm going legal on all your asses.
That's fantastic. All right, and JJ, finally over to you.
I am going with my old favorite.
Old reliable. Fantastic. All right, excellent. Now, we're moving on to round 3, where those buzzers are going to come in handy. It's a not-as-quick-fire round in which players can buzz in on each other's answers. Now, once the answer is given, give them a little time to get some words out, but you can buzz in for one of 3 reasons. If you feel there is a problem your colleague has not foreseen, if you think you have a better altogether solution, or if you can argue for why it's not actually a problem. So, John, we'll start with you. John, you've just learned that your father is Darth Vader.
Oh. Man, this is a problem that every nerd contemplates. Therefore, I've contemplated it a lot. I would actually, can I make the argument that this is not a problem?
You most certainly can.
The reason why this is not a problem is, okay, A, I actually don't know. I don't know why it's not a problem. I just know it is. Okay, someone's buzzing.
Oh, JJ, you've buzzed
good,
in, yes.
Thank you.
Well, I would like to support him in it not his not being a problemness in the fact that you'll be able to go to conventions for the rest of your days. You also, you know, by the time you find out he's your father, you still have another movie on the way. I think, and you get to be the Joker eventually. I think it's fine.
that's a pretty good point, JJ. Ryan, I heard you buzz in.
Yeah, I would argue that it is actually a problem. Finding out that your father's a Sith, okay, that's not actually that bad. But finding out that your dad is Darth Vader, that does kind of put you in a lineage of whiny bitches.
Okay. Oh.
Yes,
okay.
JJ.
Those movies didn't happen.
JJ, am I to understand you are invoking the Highlander protocols against the prequels?
Exactly.
Yes, John, you're buzzing back in.
Actually, I do realize that this is now a problem. It just dawned on me why this is a problem.
Tell me why.
I'm thinking back. If he's my dad, that means Leia's my sister. That means I've been masturbating to my sister, which is just rude.
Yeah,
rude. Yes, it's not wrong, but rude.
So did Luke.
Jesus.
So did Luke. You're fine.
Yes, Aaron.
I think due to John's age, I think this likelihood is impossible. I think it's more likely that John is the father.
Oh, rude.
Oh, wow. Ryan, yes, you buzzed in.
I'm sorry. I have to go back to the lineage of whiny bitches. I understand that you want to claim the Highlander protocol, but I'm sorry. It's canon now. We all have to suck it up and deal. Jar Jar happened. Anakin happened. Whiny bitches happened.
Oh yes.
Get over, loser.
All right. I think.
Hold on. I have one counter argument.
Okay.
But I wanted to go into Tasha's station for some power converters. He was still a whiny bitch.
Anyway, so lest we let the prequels become the problem, which we know no one can solve. No amount of editing or anything can solve.
No, nothing.
Exactly. And 3D won't solve it either, George. Sorry. We'll move on to the next one. JJ, here's your problem. You've just claimed a planet in the name of the Earth, but a strange alien in a helmet is disputing your claim.
Ah, those strange little aliens with their P-38 space modulators. Well, the nice thing is about it is I know that because I have been able to claim this planet, no matter what he does to me, I am indestructible. He will be able to disintegrate me and my beak will stay. And I will be able just completely to reform with when my dog brings over or the alien's dog brings over some the rehydrating ray. So I think that, me and my, pig amigo will, just go ahead and claim this planet in the name of France.
Yes, Ryan.
Does he have a flag?
Of course I have a flag. No flag, no country. That's a rule I made up a couple of minutes ago.
Yes, John.
He's claimed it in the name of France. Therefore I walk in and they all surrender.
Yes, Aaron.
I wasn't paying attention to the scenario again. What's going on?
I've taken over Ireland.
Oh, okay.
In the name of France.
But then John made you all English.
Which they already were, so basically just reverting back to.
Damn Canadians.
All right, again, we're straying off into another problem that we don't even want to get into.
Racism?
Start a world war.
That will not be that is not being done in 3D, much less being tried to fix in 3D. So we'll move on to the next one. Ryan, this one's for you.
Okay.
You've just discovered the secret final resting place of Jimmy Hoffa. It's in your freezer.
Okay. Whew. Okay, and I don't see why that's a problem.
Okay, why is that?
Because now I can use the ashes, or I guess what is Jimmy ashes, or is it just Jimmy jammed in my freezer?
It's jammed in your freezer, which is kind of odd considering how many pizzas you've pulled out of there over the years.
Yeah, yeah, that's a lot of. Okay, so now there is a problem because now I've got a fat Teamster stuffed in my damn freezer.
Yeah, yes, John.
I do need to clarify something. I think Jimmy stuffed in my freezer is actually the cousin to Vinny, not in this yard, not Jimmy Hoffa. Just for the record.
Okay. Okay.
But despite what John paid off by the Teamsters will tell you, it is actually the actual Jimmy Hoffa in your freezer.
Okay.
One second. JJ, go ahead, Ryan. What were you going to say?
I'm going to have to pull him out of my freezer. I'll stuff him in the trunk of a car, a stolen car, obviously. I don't want to do it in my car. That'd be dumb. Stuff him in the trunk of a stolen car and then, drive him out to Lake Lanier and get rid of him like an actual mobster.
Okay. JJ, what were you going to buzz in with?
Well, he's a Teamster. So in order to do that, you need to get a drive-away guy. You need to get a pull-out-of-the-freezer guy. And it can't be a holiday or a weekend. Handle cold gear. And so I think that you might as well, you've got a lot of people coming over your house.
Yeah. Yes, John.
I would actually like to point out to all of you guys, there's a much easier solution to this, which is you go get Pauly Shore. You take Jimmy Hoffa out of the freezer. You defrost him, and now you have a movie.
Yes, Aaron.
I think we should revert to my answer from the last round, which is dinner served.
And scene.
Oh, God.
Because once you've hit cannibalism, there's very few places you can go that are comfortable. All right, so well played, everyone. Aaron, we have this last one for you. Aaron, solve this. You're out on a small boat, and you go ashore on an island, only to discover that the island is a giant sea monster, which is done sunning itself and is going to submerge.
Okay, well, being an ex-writer of Lost, this is an early draft that we once wrote. The answer was pretty simple at the time, and that it was all one of Hurley's dreams. It was a peanut butter and juice dream. But I think for this scenario, we should probably change it up for the kids. So, here we go.
Yes, Ryan, what you got?
I'm going to have to go with the classical answer.
What's that?
A modicum of snuff is most efficacious.
Excellent quote. Anyone else? I knew it was coming. Yes, John?
I just wanted to give Aaron 6 of my points because he came up with a better solution than the writers of Lost did.
Yes, JJ.
If he would have killed Kate, he could have had all of my points.
Nice.
No, see, the problem was Kate was the monster.
I'm sorry, that would make her Kate Monster from Avenue Q, so that wouldn't quite work. Yes, John.
Oh, I was just trying to accent the point that I agreed with Aaron. So.
Because where John comes from, the Law and Order sting is how you say, I agree.
See, it's 2 for yes and only 1 for no. So that's how we work them.
Oh, I see. All right, excellent. We will end there and move on to the scores. I will tell you the scores. I can tell you that Ryan is still surging forward in fourth place.
Damn it.
11 points. We have Aaron, you're in third place with 13. JJ has 15. And John, you're in the lead with 16.
All excellent. Right. Well, awesome.
Yes, now.
I concur. Hold on, wait.
Oh, he disagrees with your score.
Wait a minute. Forget.
Round 4 next. It's our group round. Here's how it works. You will be given a complicated problem to solve. As part of your solution, you should mention someone else you're going to contact for help. At that point, I will say freeze, and I will assign that role to someone else on the panel. You must then work together to solve the problem. And as always, I will give out bonus points if you can actually work towards resolution instead of utter doom.
Okay, Mom.
All right. Yeah, I know. All right. So, John, we'll start with you. John, aliens have told mankind they will spare our planet from destruction if we can beat them in a game of skee-ball. You have been chosen as our champion, and you might be good, but you know that your alien opponent is better.
Well, the first thing I must do is get to training. In order to do my training, I'm going to need the best skee ball trainer around. Yeah, he used to be number one, then he left the skee ball industry. Of course, I'm talking about Skee Ball McGee. Skee Ball McGee is who I'm going to call up right now and
all right.
ask if he will come out of retirement and train me once again.
Freeze. JJ, you are Skee Ball McGee, and John, please make the call.
Bling, bling.
Hello. Hello.
I'm sorry. I thought your phone rang after you answered it. It was really weird. Sounded very odd.
It's an old phone. It has problems.
Skee Ball McGee, I don't know if you remember me. I'm Skee Ball McGee Jr. I'm your long-lost son. I'm not sure if you remember that.
You had potential. You had potential to be a great skee ball player, but you're not there yet, kid.
Well, the rings, they're just... I feel like I might be out of my league this time. The tickets, the rings, it's all a big blur. The lights, it's crazy.
Kid, you're starting too big. You're thinking too big. You got to reduce yourself on the problem. You got to think of your life as the concentric rings on a skee ball problem. You can't think of all of them at once. No. You always got to be aiming for the center, kid. You always got to be aiming for the center. So don't think of everything. Think of that center line, kid.
What about the move you made famous? The double bank center ring bonanza.
Kid, thing. You're thinking of the whole thing. You might as well be thinking of the other lanes. No, kid, you got to be thinking on the center. No, I want you to picture. I want you to picture in the very middle of that skee ball. I want you to think of there being a chicken. Because if you can hit a chicken, you can hit a skee ball.
Hold on. Let me call a chicken.
Freeze. Ryan, you're a chicken. John, make the call.
Yes, chicken. I need to imagine you. I need to borrow you for just a moment. I need you to stand... like you're laying an egg in the middle of this, thing over here. Do you mind doing that? Okay, Skee Ball McGee, he doesn't mind.
You just gotta focus on that chicken.
Focus on the chicken. Am I supposed to choke the chicken?
No, never choke the chicken. Don't choke the chicken, no. But, okay, now, I want you to follow through and see if you can hit that chicken with a skee ball.
Oh, skee ball, I need the best skee ball provider in the world, Balls McDougal. I should call him.
Aaron, you see where this is going. John
Balls McDougal, are you there?
Well, that's what some people call me, but yes.
Oh, good, I've got the right guy. All right, Balls McDougal, I need your balls. I need your balls in my hand right now.
It's been a long time since I've been in the balls-given service, my lad.
Balls, you remember me, right? You remember me, old skee-ball?
No, it can't be. I thought you were dead.
No, I'm not dead. I've been going into hiding, see? But this is my son, and I want you to help him. I want you to give him the signature skee-ball McGee model. That's right. I think he's ready for it.
I only ever made one of those balls.
I know.
I can't have two of those balls out there.
That's okay, kid. It's okay. You can give it to him.
I'll just hold him up to my chin right before I pull back, and then I release.
Okay.
Into the chicken.
I got to warn you, if you don't handle my balls right, it could go off all over the place.
I think we've assembled the proper team.
Okay, kid, you hit that chicken. If you can hit that chicken, you can hit anything.
Okay, here we go. One... two.
Three. Oh my god, you hit that chicken, kid. You're ready. You can take on anybody.
Yeah. Sure,
you're the best man who's ever held my balls before that I've ever seen.
I love your balls.
You're the son I always wish I had, and now I do.
Another joke about testicles.
Don't leave that joke hanging there.
I forgot to put the balls in a sack.
Okay. I've injured.
You can tell there's no girls on this week.
So
yeah.
I'm so glad Misty Lee isn't here.
Maybe you are. I wish he was here.
All right. Bonus points all around because really, honestly, you could solve the problem. And a bonus point to Ryan for punctuating certain things with a chicken noise, which always equals comedy. Oh, fuck. All right. Moving on, then, if we can. I don't know. So, Aaron, this one starts with you. You are Mad Max. You are driving across the desert to do a battle with some army of mutants or something. And your check engine light comes on.
Okay. It always helps when I get given films I've never seen. All right, so.
Can we deduct points for him not seeing, having ever seen
Agreed.
Mad Max?
It was out before I was born, you know? All right, so.
Have you seen Star Wars? I'm pretty sure it was before you were born.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I know, but that didn't suck. All right.
What?
Oh!
All right. I'm leaving this. Never mind.
This is a
I'm done.
Problem. This is a different problem. Aaron's lack of taste is a problem that we can't solve. So, Aaron, moving on. You're Mad Max. You at least know the scenario well enough. Go ahead.
That's just my voice. That's not the car. All right. So. Okay. So, Jesus. Why isn't the car moving anymore? Oh shit, the light's flashing and fucking engine's fucked up. I gotta call AAA. What else can I do?
All right, we'll freeze there.
Sorry, that was dramatic music I didn't mean to do.
No, no bonus points for that. John, you are AAA and Aaron, make the call.
Hello, AAAA.
Hi, I'm Mel Gibson. I'm stuck in the desert right now.
Yeah, this is a Australian Automotive Association.
That's what you are? I thought it was ringing Australian Alcoholics Anonymous. Damn.
Nope. This is Australian. Where are you at?
I'm stuck in the middle of a desert.
Okay, what's a cross street?
There's no Tina. I can't hear Tina Turner anywhere.
Is there a cross street?
Dingo Alley, I think.
Well, what do you need?
I need a better agent.
Is there someone else
there
with you?
No, I'm all on my own. This is a post-apocalyptic world.
Is it?
Most people are dead.
So there's no one there with you?
No.
What's the cross street?
You have to solve this with me. You have to solve this with me. You can't buzz anyone in.
Come on,
AAA, work with me here.
What's the cross street?
All right, freeze. Since he brought it up, JJ, you're Tina Turner, and you enter the scene.
Hello? Someone still there?
Yeah, I'm waiting for you to help me out. My car is stranded in the middle of the desert somewhere. It's called a post-conflict world.
The nearest tow truck I have is Tina's towing service. I can send her.
Well, how long
send her over
there.
Well, she'll show up. There'll be two people with her. One's gonna have to leave though.
a monthly fee for the service.
Yeah, everyone does, sir. The apocalypse came and all these cars broke down. Oh wait. She is in the area. Hold on. She should be. Can you flash your flashers at her?
She's looking flash. For you. Nothing to do with the car, but I can flash her if that helps.
Oh, there you are. I almost missed you entirely. Here I am, Tina Turner. I am here to help.
You're not Jewish, are you?
No, I am Scandinavian.
Oh, okay. That's all right.
Of the Scandinavian.
Because if you're Jewish, I wouldn't let you work on my car.
Oh, no. I am not. I am in no way Jewish at all. No. Okay. Well, I can see the problem here. The problem here is that you don't have an engine in your car anymore.
Oh, okay. I was wondering what that loud noise was halfway down the road.
Yeah. You betcha. So it's all back there. Well, it just so happens that, you know, being a tow truck, I do carry around a few extra engines. I hope you don't mind getting one with better power and better gas mileage here in this post-apocalyptic world.
Well, I kind of like the look of your tow truck, so I think I'm just going to take that. Pow! Face.
Sir? Hello?
He's gone.
You still on the phone?
Hello?
I hung up on you.
We got continuous cell service here in the apocalypse. I'm going to have to send Master Blaster out to get you.
Oh, that's okay. No, we're fine here. We don't need another hero.
I just hit you in the face. Shut up.
Oh! And scene.
I thought I was going to get to play Master Blaster.
and come you can in play and, with your Master Blaster if you like.
You just wanted to come in and grunt like you were coming in clucking before.
And ask who run Bartertown a few times. But...
that's true. Yeah. I'm sorry, but I made a promise to myself. Is the moment someone brought out the we don't need another hero joke, the scene would end. Cannibalism.
Can I point out I should get extra bonus points for realism? That is actually a conversation I had with a AAA associate. my side. Yeah, in fact, they actually did send Tina Turner's towing service, which was weird.
Which is weird.
I thought that she was.
A bonus point there for John for trying to steer the scene the way he wanted, making Tina Turner running a towing service, which, of course, JJ derailed because that's what he does. All right. So
I could.
All right. So, Ryan, this one starts with you.
Okay.
All right. Your problem is this. You wake up strapped to a table and a giant bladed pendulum is swinging back and forth above you and descending.
Is there someone maniacally laughing?
Okay, JJ, freeze. You are the person who randomly maniacally laughs.
Damn. This happens to me every Tuesday. I can't free myself. I'm tied down too tightly. However, I think I can just reach with my toe, my communicator, so that I can call my trusty chauffeur.
Okay. Aaron, you are the trusty chauffeur, and I guess Ryan is making the call with his toe.
Kato?
Hello, chauffeur service.
I need you to bring the car around in front of this giant swinging pendulum.
Okay, I can do that. Would you like me to open the car door for you?
Yes! Open the car door and make sure that you park the car just to one side of the pendulum so that it can't swing back and hit me. Block the pendulum with the car.
Okay, so maneuver 5.
Yes, maneuver 5. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
Okay, this happens regularly. Excuse me for one moment while I back up.
Beep. Beep, 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 beep.
Brilliant driver! Ha ha! Now, tell you what, there's a 20 in it for you if you untie me.
You know, I was actually hired by the evil laughing guy. I don't know if I'm supposed to release you.
Ha ha
ha ha ha ha ha ha! $220
bill. I think I'm gonna need 3 Benjamins and a Lincoln.
3
Christmas bonus.
Ha ha ha
ha! Well, okay, fine. It is the holidays, and you've been very good to me all year, despite the fact that you seem to have been hired by my arch nemesis.
Pays good rates.
Free dental.
It's a recession, dude. What do you expect me to do?
I understand. It's hit all of us. Why
I don't get danger pay for rescuing you every second Tuesday. I mean, come on, man.
Why do you think I had to move the communicator into my boots? I mean, who has communicator boots?
Do you have a foot fetish?
All right.
Look,
all right.
Just show me the money.
Well, I can't show you the money. I can't reach for my wallet. Tell you what. I'm gonna shimmy. All right. The wallet's in the left buttock pocket. You can check it out yourself. Tell you what, why don't you just help yourself to anything that's in there?
Ooh, I think I might. Ooh,
geez, and any minute you're gonna start paying me.
Okay, well, now that I have your wallet, I could just leave you here. And drive off. You don't get hired by an evil guy for nothing, you know.
Hey, come on, man. I thought you said it was a recession. You just needed the money. You seem like a stand-up guy.
Paid your rent.
Come on.
Okay, tell you what.
I got a wife and kids. Come on.
Okay, well, if you hire me for your kid's bar mitzvah, we have a deal.
Okay, and I'll throw the kid a bar mitzvah. We're not Jewish, but whatever.
You are now, motherfucker.
L'chaim!
It's
secret. I lost my henchman.
Scene. I'll give a bonus point to Aaron for trying to make up for being Mel Gibson in the previous skit.
Right, by making
converting someone to Judaism. That's good. Well done. And JJ got a bonus point for maniacally crying despite the scene ending because he just knew it needed to be done. And it did. So well done, everyone. All right. Finally, JJ, this one actually was inspired by something sent in by our listener, Apollonius. Here is the problem that you will start with. And we're putting you into the scenario that they inspired. They're having another donation drive for Wikipedia. They've gotten so desperate about it that they've surrounded your house and they just stare at you with personal appeals. What do you do?
Oh, and they always look so sad.
I know.
Well, I think the first thing I would have to do is obviously, I would have to gather a crack task force of people like myself who are not quite noteworthy enough to be in Wikipedia. Because the only way you can fight that kind of thing is to be people who are, you know, the little people and rise up. So I'm going to have to call, I think I'm going to dial back to, 2008, and I will have to call a popular podcaster of the time, a little Irish guy that we all know and love.
Okay. John, you're playing the role of Aaron Poole. JJ, make the call.
Lovely.
Hello.
Lucky charms, blah blah blah.
Oh God!
Congratulations, it's 2008, and everything's going well for you, Aaron. I need your help.
Oh, God. This is the luckiest clover of a day ever. Oh, I am more than willing to help you.
Remember, I'm going to see you in September. All right.
Oh, this hurts me to my core. Aaron,
yes,
they're surrounding my house with Wikipedia stairs, and I need your help. What should we do?
I know, we'll distract them.
How will we distract them, Aaron?
We'll throw a marathon.
Oh, fantastic.
We'll counter their staring marathon with a different marathon.
Oh my God, you're completely right.
My Irish accent.
That's fine. You've been hanging out with a lot of Americans. Can I go more insidery between the friendship between me and Aaron? Okay, so you're completely brilliant. Okay, so what we need, Aaron, what we need, let's go ahead and stay insidery and see if people remember the past. What we need is we need to put something up that is of absolutely no value whatsoever and try to auction it off.
I have this crappy piano.
Oh my God.
Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear it. Let me hear it again.
Hold on.
Holy cow, we need to call in Rock Piano.
Yes. Let's call Rock Piano.
Rock Piano is already playing itself, so therefore we don't need to freeze. However, because there is, in the effort of fairness, because I didn't think it was going to go this direction, I'll say if there is a marathon involved, I do believe there is someone who runs a lot. So, Aaron, I'll make you John Boutel. And you can come into the scene, please.
Let's call John.
I was waiting for that. John, how come your phone has a drum before it rings?
I don't know.
Wow, John. Are you Canadian? That's not very Canadian.
No, I am not Canadian. I am American. This is how American talk.
Oh, God. Okay, Aaron, John, we're gonna have
Cheerio.
We're gonna auction off Rock Piano to help get rid of these Wikipedia people. We're gonna try
not
to
Rock Piano. This is a thing of legend.
Yes, it is a thing of legend. You can hear its siren call on the wind. It's beautiful. It makes me sob. Okay, so now, all we need is, Aaron, we need you to go in front of this camera and try to sell Rock Piano.
Ah, sure, no problem. Irish thing.
Well, you're doing things that are very interesting to see, but not very interesting to listen to.
To listen to, yes. So, but wow, that is amazing the way you're doing that gymnastic bending. If only someone was calling in to buy Rock Piano.
Freeze, Ryan, you will be calling into the scene rather than someone calling you and offering to buy Rock Piano.
Hello, caller.
Hi, since I seem to be the only one who can do an Irish accent.
That's Irish?
It's Irish enough.
Well,
yes, I can agree. It's very Irish. Not insulting to anybody.
Not at all.
Potato. Right.
Well, okay, so we need you to buy this Rock Piano with enough money to get the Wikipedia people off our tail. How much are you willing to pay for this Rock Piano in euro? Because you're Irish.
Only hey, JJ, thanks for reminding us what this fuck this scenario is.
No problem. I have a one-track mind.
I knew exactly what I was calling in for. I was calling in to buy that awesome piano for, Bigora, maybe €300. What's that? About...
That's about
7 or 8,000 American dollars now, right?
Wow, it's more than
really
the GM
know what the exchange rate is.
It's more than the GDP of Ireland altogether.
Well then, sure. That I will gladly take your money in PayPal, and I will hand it to this horde of Wikipedia people outside so I can see the sunlight again. Okay. Wikipedia people, here's your money. Go away.
And scene, I guess. Well,
that was awkward for everyone involved.
Most offensive sketch ever.
Honestly, it was awkward for everyone involved.
Yes.
Well, I was trying to spread around the awkwardness. Once it got awkward.
I apologize, Aaron.
I would
that's
like
okay.
I would like to apologize to the people of the world. I take full responsibility for that sketch.
Yeah, when I decided to take a left turn and make John Aaron, I didn't expect that to happen. Okay.
In fairness, his Floridian accent was a little smarter than the average Floridian, so.
Jesus. All right, so moving on then. Well, all right, well, that was an exciting end to the show. I certainly didn't expect the show to end like that, but that's how it does. If I take a moment to total up the scores, I see that we have the rankings as follows. Ryam, you came in a strong fourth place with 26 points.
Damn it!
We have, well, actually third place, I'm sorry, because we do have a tie for second place. So there you go, I've upgraded you again.
Woo!
You're welcome. We have tied for second place. We have John and Aaron with 27 points.
I was robbed.
And JJ soared out ahead with 29 points. So JJ, for this week, you are the winner.
Yay!
There you go. So that is not that is not only the end of the show, it's the end of this series of Solve This. Now, if you'd like to hear a second series of Solve This, here's how you can make that happen. We ask you to retweet the episodes, share them on Facebook, stumble them on StumbleUpon. However you spread the word about things you like, do that. And if you're so inclined, you can also stop by needcoffee.com/support and throw some money in the tin can. Anything you can do to support us, we greatly appreciate it. So thank you for listening to Solve This, not only this episode, but the entire first series. Now, as always, if you have a problem that's been bothering you and you'd like to present it to a panel of experts for the amusement of the world, then you can send that problem in an email to solvethis@needcoffee.com. So until next series, on behalf of John Boutel, Ryam Patrick Eros, JJ Hawkins, and Aaron Poole, this is me, Widget Walls, saying goodbye. So goodbye.